Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight at the New York Public Library. My name is Liz Sebrin, and I have the pleasure of serving on the committee for the Young Lions. First, I want to thank all of the Young Lions who are here tonight. Your support is essential in providing the library's free services to 50 million people every year, both through local branches as well as the library's digital collections. I also want to acknowledge my colleagues on the Young Lions Committee, especially our co-chairs, Sloane Crosley, Ben Lonan, and Rohit Singh. Finally, I want to extend a warm welcome to the members of the Apollo Circle who are joining us here this evening. We're thrilled to have you as our guests tonight. Tonight, we're honored to have Scott Schumann, also known as the Sartorialist. Before Instagram, before Pinterest, Scott was capturing everyday fashion and beauty in his photographs. He founded the Sartorialist blog in 2005 and has been part of the fabric of the fashion industry ever since. He was most recently appointed as a guest mentor in the digital fashion communication at the Domus Academy in Milan. We're thrilled to have him at the library tonight to tell us a little bit about his latest inspirations in New York City and abroad. He and I are going to have a brief conversation. We're also going to ask some of the questions that you submitted in advance via social media. So please join me in welcoming Scott Schumann.
Hello.
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 So, Scott, thank you so much for coming. Thought maybe we could start off with just a little bit of information about you, how you got started.
Okay. Does this chair make me look fat? I wore my slim sweater.
I feel bad. I heard that it was called the Young Lion, so I actually thought this was a children's event, so I brought balloons, but I don't think I'll be using them tonight. So, like you mentioned, I started my blog in 2005. Just for fun, you know. I mean, I didn't have any big expectations. There was no reason to think that a grown 38-year-old man should be able to make something out of himself from a blog, especially at that time. And I just kind of did it for fun. I didn't put my name on it, so if it didn't go well, I could always say it wasn't me. And honest thing I can say is that, you know, I just did it for me. You know, it was really just my photographs. It was something that I thought I could share. I'd been in the fashion business for a long time, and so I thought I had a unique point of view, being able to shoot men in a particular way and shoot women in a particular way. And I think I saw fashion and style slightly different than most of the other people that I know. And I knew that a blog was free, basically, which I thought was a good price. And I could put it up there, and it wouldn't cost me anything, and I could just throw it out there and see what happened. But I didn't, it took off, so much faster than what I thought was humanly possible. I mean, within 6 months, Style.com wanted me to go to Europe and shoot, and on that trip, GQ asked me to do a page for them, my own page, with my name and my writing and my shooting, and, which were all things that weren't even a dream. I'd taught myself photography, had never thought about being a fashion writer or anything like that. And so to have all that stuff just kind of fall on you that quickly was great. I mean, now it's 8-9 years down the road. And so I look at that time and I think, oh my God, how did I make that through? Because it was just like a rocket ship that takes off straight up. And you're just trying to hold on and not lose the opportunities and the potential of what you know is there, but also keep the integrity and the honesty and the heart that it started with, so you don't lose what people liked about it in the very beginning. It's, to this day, it's still just me and one assistant, and I have an assistant in Europe, but I'm still out, by myself shooting and trying to keep still the heart of what I do very much the same, in the connection, and I'm constantly looking at my photographs and trying to go somewhere new and shoot with the same kind of sincerity and curiosity that I've always shot with.
Can you talk a little bit about how you got started? So what your photographs looked like and who you were shooting and where you were shooting, you know, back in 2005 and how that's evolved?
Well, like I said, I'd been in fashion for a long time. I had, you know, grew up and I wanted to be the next Armani and I wanted to do design, but I could look at my own work and see that I wasn't going to be the next Armani. And I didn't have enough money like Kanye to just try and make that happen. And so I was doing sales and marketing for fashion brands. But when I had my kids, my older one just turned 15, and I have an 11-year-old. And so I started taking pictures of them just at the playground and the park and running around. And I found how much I really loved that. I found my art. You know, I always felt like a creative, artistic person, but I hadn't found my art. And it never, I didn't want to be a fashion photographer. I still don't. And so I had never really looked into that. When I had my kids, it was like, wow, okay, now I've really found my thing. I love taking pictures of people and shooting them in the kind of romantic way that I see the situation. Mm-hmm. And just at some point, you know, as I made that my hobby, you know, shooting my kids when we were running around and not showing anyone or doing anything with them, just for my own fun. At some point, I saw that about that time I was getting better at that is when I keep seeing all these things about blogs. And blogs at that time were pretty much text-driven, and they were political or humor, something like that. There wasn't a visual element. And there were a lot of chat rooms at that time, same thing. They didn't have the visual element. And so I thought, you know, it'd be this format would be a great thing to do. And add a visual element, you know, because I would see these chat rooms and they'd talk about fashion. I thought, well, that's kind of cool. But they would talk about jackets and clothes and this and that. And I'm like, but where's a picture of this? Like, what does it matter? And to me, it seems so, not ridiculous, but just seemed odd. They'd be talking about how many stitches a jacket had and this, that, which to me, you know, jacket can have a million great stitches and all that. But if it's ugly, it's still ugly. You know, you don't want to wear it. Yeah. Ugh. That's, you know, kind of where I thought that, you know, some kind of visual element on the internet would be really good. I mean, at that time, fashion really only had style.com, and that was mainly just, you know, pictures from the fashion show. So, you know, if there was one thing that I'm proud of, it's that, you know, the whole kind of blog culture really gave fashion a home on the internet. You know, a lot of brands just didn't know what to do with it. They still don't know what to do with fashion on the internet. But, you know, I just taught myself, and it kind of took off from there, you know, almost everything I did. You know, there was no big, social media was kind of big at that time, but not as big as it is now. You know, there was no Twitter, there was no Instagram, no Pinterest, any of that. And so blogs were kind of big, but there was no reason to figure out how you could make money, how you could become kind of a persona out of something like that. So I had to kind of figure all that out myself. You know, I'd done marketing before and had done sales, and I knew enough to know that you can't make someone like something. Either they just have to like it and want to tell somebody else about it and share it, but you can't tell them you should like this. Their friends can tell them you should like it. And so my dad, after a couple of months working on the blog, my dad, come here, let's sit down and talk about this thing. What's this blog thing, blah, blah, blah. And all I had to do was show him a couple of emails, and I said, look at these emails. Because he had done a lot of marketing. He was very smart with those things. And I said, just look at those emails. Look what people are saying. And when he would see these, you know, really heartfelt emails, you know, of how much the photographs meant to them, he said, oh, yeah, okay, you're right. Like, you can't connect with people and get that kind of emotion without something good happening. What? I didn't know at that time, but that's all I had to show him. Look at that. And from there on, you know, that's just the main thing that always drives me is, you know, I'm happy that I've been able to make a business out of it and make a career out of it and all that, but, you know, still to this day, it's, you know, we had a little talk before talking about, you know, I kind of feel that same thing again now with Instagram, where that conversation's back and that simple act of sharing images and interacting with people all over the world is happening again with Instagram, you know, because it's just so fast. You can comment easy. It's with you. It's in the moment. You don't have to be a great photographer to do it. You just have to capture something that you want to share and that hopefully will capture the interest of somebody else. But as you can see, it just kind of happened.
Well, and I think that's interesting that you mentioned Instagram, because this was the year that the selfie, you know, was the word of the year in 2013. And if you think about, you know, we're in the library and this historical record and how blogging and this rise of visual medium and all of, you know, the tools that are allowing us to become content creators have just, you know, multiplied exponentially. It's interesting to think about what that's doing to this written record and the historical record. Would love to sort of hear what you think about that.
It's such a good question that you ask. It's like maybe we talked about this stuff before or something.
No.
Just off the top of your head. But, you know, one of the things, you know, being someone who's so in the blog world, you know, and you read so much about, you know, oh, there's a lot of not great things written about blogs now, especially blogs in the fashion world or even in other things. And the whole idea of selfie and that so much self-promotion and all this, which a lot of that's true. But the thing I think that we're missing is that, you know, we're so in the middle of this forest right now of what social media is going to become, and we have no history really to see what it's going to mean to us. But, you know, so much of what I do when I'm shooting, even before it became so crazy, is, you know, thinking about what we're doing in a historical context. You know, usually, you know, my big heroes, when I was teaching myself photography, and this whole idea of sharing images and all that, were people like August Sander and Lartigue and Helen Levitt, you know, street photographers that have captured and shared their time period. And it helps you understand that time period better. To me, it doesn't really matter whether it's New York or Bali or wherever these people who I really love their photography, you know, August Sander's from Germany. And so, like them, or maybe not like them, but what I always think about my photographs is I feel very lucky that people like the images now and they get something out of it and they can share them and talk about them. But what we have now, because of the technology, not because of me, but just because of the technology, is an ability to capture what we're thinking about what people are wearing and social issues right now that people 100 years from now can look at and understand this time period better than we've ever been able to share before. You know, I think it'll be fascinating to look at these photographs that we're taking now and sharing and putting on blogs or on Instagram. And if people come, you know, look at it 100 years from now, or aliens come from outer space and look at this and say, smoking was a big issue at that time. You know, people, when I put up a picture of someone smoking, people really love it or hate it. You know, oh, that's so chic. Oh, that's so awful. Oh, that, but our fur. You know, people, that's still a really big issue. And I think it's great that, you know, in the past, you know, it was always the upper level that had the voice, the historic voice. You know, the upper level were the ones having their portraits painted, and the upper level were the ones that were commissioning the artwork and the stories and everything. But social media now is just really, it's everybody's platform. And so even with the selfies, you know, I mean, it seems over the top now, but I mean, how incredible would it have been if we had selfies in the Renaissance, you know, and people were able to have their own phones and they're shooting, look at my, you know, tunic. This is a great tunic. I love your tunic. That's great. You know, oh, you know, Leonardo going, or, you know, Michelangelo going back to the Sistine Chapel again, laying on my back, look what I did today. But I think it would be fascinating, you know, and so it seems crazy that we have it now because we're so in the middle of it, because, and we don't have any distance from it to see, like, wow, isn't this great what we've captured? Or even silly things, you know, like I mentioned cigarettes and fur, but, like, I was surprised how divisive flip-flops are. People love flip-flops or they hate them, and they are vocal about it. You know, oh, that's disgusting. Your feet are out in the city and they're dirty and they're... And I would love to know what the divisive thing of, like, 1905 was. You know, oh, that bonnet. And so, you know, to me, that's what's so interesting about when you take it past the annoyance of a lot of when social media is not used well, but you think about what we're capturing now. And then the other element is, you know, that I think we're kind of coming full circle again. You know, as opposed, everyone says that social media is separating everybody, which in some ways are true, because right now, my 15-year-old, all I see is the top of her head when she's down on her, looking at her phone, and it can separate people, but it's also bringing us together because we've almost come full circle where we're back to this, I think, this idea of almost like hieroglyphics, you know, back in this kind of Egyptian time where the written record was really just images, and people could understand what those images were. And when you look at something like Tumblr or Instagram, you know, someone can have a Tumblr in China, and we can't speak the same language, but I can understand this person, this guy or girl. I can understand what kind of car they like, what kind of place they want to go on vacation, what kind of interiors they love, what kind of movie stars they dream about. And that all just comes from the images. However they edit what they choose to share of what their life is, what interests them. And it's a way to communicate now that we've never had before. And it's a completely nonverbal, and yet it's bringing us together. I have a lot of friends who are in Italy. I travel so much. I have a lot of friends in Italy that we don't speak the same language, but we can communicate, even if we're not together in the same place, through how we're Instagramming, through what I see he's putting on his Tumblr, where he's going. You know, I see someone that I haven't seen in 6 months, and I know everything that's going on with him, and so I can ask him very, you know, in very gentle, or not a gentle way, but just in a very basic way, you know, how was, you know, Taiwan or wherever this guy went. So I think it's a fascinating time right now that we're living in this moment, but I think it's historically going to be a fascinating time because we're just capturing life in such a minute way that we've never been able to capture before.
I think that's an interesting point about the idea that we're all editing and...
That made one interesting.
But when you think about the fact that we're all putting these things out on Instagram, but we are editing, so how much of, you know, you're saying, well, I'm seeing his life, his car, his whatever, but you're also seeing what he chooses to put on there. So how much of that do you think, you know...
Well, I think the best ones, you know, it's like anything. Because it's free to do now, I think it really is where the cream rises to the top, because there is no barrier to entry. There is no, you have to, you know, in the past it would cost X amount of money to contact enough people, to get something printed, to get something, you know, shipped and all that. It took a lot more thought, and I think someone really had to think, do they want to go through this process to communicate this thing? Mm-hmm. Now it's so easy to do, people don't really communicate, they don't really think, but those are usually the people that don't, they're, who don't really build an audience, you know, who don't, or won't build a very long audience. You know, it's maybe kind of like a one-hit wonder, or they kind of fascinate someone for a little while. But I think it's the people who know how to communicate in a very real way and show the up and down and the, I don't know, it's a hard thing to teach. Like I told you I was going to start teaching this class in Milan about social media, and it's a very hard thing to try and quantify what's going to be interesting. But, you know, how many people go to the park and just watch people, love to say, oh, I just love to watch people walk by in the park. You can't say why, and you don't know, you can't tell them ahead of time what it's going to be that's going to be interesting, but people still do it. And I think it's the surprise. And the other thing I think is really important is that, you know, now we're almost oversharing, and people have lost the concept of mystery. You know, so a lot of things I do, people I shoot, you know, like up here, when I put it on the blog, I don't put the person's name. I don't put what they're wearing. I like to keep the mystery. So you can share a lot and put a lot of images and put a lot of things out there. Or even like with me, you know, on my blog and Instagram and stuff, I think it's very deeply me, but I myself am on the blog very rarely. It's things I'm interested in or things I see or places I go and things like that. And I really think that's a big part of it, you know, is the reality of that. You know, sometimes I get to fly very nice business class flights, and sometimes I'm taking a really crappy train overnight from, you know, one city to the next, and it's not so great, but I like to capture those moments. And I think that's what people relate to, is, you know, a little bit of curiosity, but a little bit of something they can relate to. And I think that's really the key.
And how do you see, you know, you as the capturer and there being these subjects that back in, say, 2005, you know, were not aware of what was going to happen with all of this social media and the fact that I think we now, you know, sort of stage things and get ready and say, oh, I know this is going to be on Instagram or whatnot, and I think you probably experienced this more than anyone in this room with the subjects and you having that relationship with people who are going to the shows, you know, and dressing up to be shot versus some of the trips that you've been doing recently, going to Morocco and kind of shooting just people that are
there. For me, it's always been, it's funny that I think the best way I've been able to figure out how to say it is, for me, it's about the person, but not really that specific person. You know, it's them, and I'm trying to capture them, but I don't know them, so it's kind of my imagination of who they are. And so, like people I was shooting in 2005, it's still, you know, it's still them, but it was my imagination of who they are. And now, you know, for me, it really hasn't changed, even though some people get dressed up and things like that for the shows. But, you know, that's one of the other things that people forget. You know, even before I was doing the blog, I was going to shows and I'd been in the fashion business. People were always dressing up for the shows. I mean, can you imagine, like, all these fashion people getting together? Of course they're going to get dressed up for each other. Of course they want to, you know, show my magazine's hotter than your magazine, our team's cooler than your team. And so it was always there, you know? That's
but
why I started going.
But now you have this, like, plethora of people that are just coming and standing outside,
yeah,
right?
You know, if you look, I mean, this is, because I remember growing up and reading about all this stuff. There's a documentary that I bought at Colette talking about fashion in the 80s, in the early 80s. And there's a scene in it when they talk about now fashion shows are becoming so much. They were saying exactly what people are saying now. Now fashion shows are the place to go to be seen and to everyone gets dressed up and tries to sneak in and all that. And that's what I always
remember. You're like, that was happening
back? Yeah. I mean, that was happening in the 80s. It just we weren't capturing it. We didn't have the ability to capture it that way. And even though people were having fashion shows, you know, there was no style.com, so all those looks on the runway, when I would buy a magazine, you were lucky if you saw a couple of looks from the runway. So that was there. It just kind of died off for a little while, or it was just smaller. But it's really not anything new. I mean, for every Anna Della Russo that we have now, you had Anna Piaggia or someone like that that came before. It's just now, like I said, we're just so good at capturing the minutia of everyday life. And so, you know, for me, it's not about reporting. It's not about being a journalist. It's about trying to capture it in the romantic way that I see it. And now there's, you know, a whole bunch of people out shooting, you know, all over the place, even in New York. You know, just the other day I dropped my little girl off at school, or off at ballet on Saturday on Broadway, and just between Broadway and 19th Street and 17th Street, I'm walking down the street and I see the guy from Humans of New York, and then half a block down I see Bill Cunningham, and then a block past that I see this guy, Nam, who is a street style guy from Korea. Just within two blocks, you know, just by coincidence, everybody's there. So there's a lot of people doing it. So for me anyway, it's not about reporting the fastest or who's the most outrageous. I mean, if you look at the photographs, you know, at least one thing I think I always tried to do is in the past, historically, you know, Bill Cunningham, I think, has always been drawn to more the outrageous people. You know, if you've seen the documentary, he likes the more dramatic. There's a wonderful photographer named Amy Arbus, who's Deanne Arbus's daughter, who's going to have an exhibit at the Leica Gallery on Broadway a little bit later this month. And she also was more drawn to the kind of New York characters, where I was maybe more drawn to like the August Sander kind of school of more subtlety. You know, to me, I like the kind of interesting characters, but I think because of my fashion background, I was more interested in capturing the subtlety, you know, the way a collar is made or the way a guy stands. You know, posture to me is a big thing in photography. I love capturing, you know, posture is so important. The clothes are important, and the light in the photograph, all the other photographic elements are really important, but I think the one thing that hopefully stamps a lot of my photographs is the way people stand, and hopefully the dignity in which they stand, or the shyness, or whatever that thing is that I think I see in them in that moment. Sometimes it's bravado, sometimes it's gentleness, sometimes it's straightforward, sometimes it's shy and hidden. Hopefully the clothes just help tell the story, and it's a portrait of a person, just kind of a mysterious person. And I like to keep that mystery.
I think we're going to open it up to some questions from the audience, if anyone has questions. I think we have a couple of mics. Anyone? No questions? Oh.
Say it again. Prints of the photographs? Yes. I have a very good gallerist that's been with me for a long time, James Danziger, who has a great gallery on 23rd Street. And we've done several shows, and I'm very lucky that some of the photographs are in like the Victoria and Albert Museum and the Metropolitan Museum of Photography in Tokyo. And I love printing. When I started shooting, I was shooting on film. And that's one of the reasons I did the books, is that I love having the photographs on the internet and something that's easy to share. But I wanted to have the experience and wanted the people to still have the experience of being able to hold the images. But I didn't want to do just big photo prints, big images that a lot of the people who I know really like the photographs couldn't have. And so I did the books with Penguin and made really specific choices, like how much I wanted it to be. I didn't want it to be a big $100 hardcover coffee table book. I wanted it to be more like a workbook, something they would feel comfortable just taking and putting in a backpack and reading on the subway or something like that. So I do prints, and we have prints at James Gallery that are regular kind of fine art prints, but then we also do posters. Because I think, when I do a book signing, I mean, it's so many kids, from 18 to 30 or 25, something like that. And so I can imagine them, wanting to hopefully put them in their room or their college dorm or something like that. And if that's how they're being used, to me, that's more rewarding than necessarily making a, $4,000 print. That's very nice, too. But I like to have that spread between the two. Any other questions over there?
What do you think is the most interesting thing that's happening right now in fashion, and what would you really just like to see go away?
Just between us, right? None of you have a Twitter or anything like that? What do I love going on? Well, one thing that people say all the time is, when you started, you were one of the only people, and now, Fashion Week's crazy. You got all these people there at the shows and all these people shooting and all this stuff, and it's just out of control, and people are getting dressed up, and don't you hate that? Isn't that horrible? And, it makes my life a little bit more difficult, although I kind of like actually having a lot more people around because it gives me, I can hide a little bit more and move more quietly, when there's a bigger crowd like that. But at first, it never really annoyed me, but I know it annoyed a lot of the other people. It annoyed a lot of the editors who felt like, they weren't as privileged anymore, and, they had to maybe swerve around two people to get to the show. Or it annoyed a lot of the other people who were early in that, and they felt like, who are all these new people? Well, to me, that never bothered me. But when I really looked at it and really tried to understand what was really happening, it really kind of, softened me to the whole thing, because, what I think it really is that for the first time in a long time, people really feel close to fashion again, and they feel it's not this aloof kind of elitist world over in the corner they can't be a part of. And sports is so ahead of almost all the other cultures. And, look how many people stay after a sports game and want to get a, 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 you know, Michael Jordan to sign an autograph, or just to see the athletes go in and out. It's the exact same thing at the shows. You know, a lot of the people who are standing out there now with a camera, you know, who say, oh, I have a blog or something, you know, they may or may not have a blog, or they may have just decided, wow, now, you know, someone like, you know, Anna Delarusso or Corinne Roitfeld or someone like that who is their equivalent of Michael Jordan, now they have a reason to talk to this person. You know, before it would have been a lot harder to go up to Franca Sozzani and just say, hi, I like what you do. A lot easier with a camera to walk up to her and say, hi, can I take a picture of you? I really like your magazine, blah, blah, blah. And that's what I really see. I think a lot of those pictures that are being taken aren't going to go anywhere, but it's people who, like me, like I was, you know, dreamed of that world and dreamed of being a part of that world, but now they aren't so scared to go out and stand by the shows and maybe try and sneak in or talk to somebody and just live that life that they hope to be in. So now I just think it shows that, you know, fashion is evolved so much further, you know, and people want to be a part of it and they want to say what their opinion is, and they don't feel that, you know, when I started, people always felt like the magazines were just telling them what to do and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's been broken now. You know, and now I feel that they feel that they have a chance to agree or disagree, and they have platforms where they can say, I agree with Vogue, or I don't agree with Vogue, or I love Harper's Bazaar, or I don't like this, or so that's something I think is really great, you know, that people are just so in touch now with fashion at so many different levels. And I can't really think of anything I don't like. I mean, I'm the least blasé person probably in Fashion Week. I mean, I don't think you'll ever hear me say, oh, I have to go to Milan again. Oh, I have to go to Florence. I mean, as long as they don't have a Fashion Week in Tulsa, then I'm okay. But that's just because some outstanding warrants. But I don't think there's really anything, I really can't think of anything that I don't like in fashion, you know, style-wise. You know, I mean, that's what's fun. You know, I like, I think the only thing I don't like is maybe the lack of sincerity of a lot of people who are starting blogs now who I don't know. I just don't know why they do it. I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, I guess, you know, it'd be cool if you're young and you want to start a blog and wear a bunch of clothes and get free stuff and all that. I mean, I guess I could understand that. But I just think it's such a great platform for people to really be able to communicate in a real way and really have a great discussion. I mean, it's one of the reasons when I'm shooting, I'll go to somewhere like South Africa, like that shot, and put that next to a shot of a guy in Milan, you know, or like this is a girl in Kiev, you know. And to me, it was all about, like I was talking about, posture and the way that, you know, people sit or hold their hands, and, you know, to mix the photographs up in such a different way. To me, I just think it's such a miss to not use that for everybody to understand something a little bit more deep than just the hem of a skirt or something like that. Another question?
Hi. Okay, this is, I think, the last question.
It better be a good one. No pressure.
Sorry, Karen's telling me to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. Are people criticizing me for? People in this room? I think, I hope, it's what I wrote, I think it was the first line I wrote in the first book, is that at the end of the day, I hope people see these as beautiful portraits of people whose clothing help tell the story of who they are, you know, that and where they're from. You know, that's why I've even pulled back more in a lot of these and are doing these horizontal shots, so it really places the person in the context of where I found them. So hopefully, you know, as I get to travel more, you know, when I started, I was going to fashion weeks and things like that because that's where I could get people to pay me to go. But now that, you know, I've got my own business and it's running well, you know, I can afford to go to more diverse places. And I hope after 40 years, you know, you'll be able to look at a catalog of images that really show something about the style of this time from different places all around the world, you know, from the markets of Morocco and Bali and Las Vegas and Georgia to Russia and Mongolia. That's what I would like to see. I'd like to be able to look back at these images 40 years from now and say, wow, look at all these places I went, and look at all these people I met, and just look how beautiful the human existence and the variety of humanity is all around the world. And because just for whatever reason, clothes come to me in a very intuitive way, and fashion comes to me in a very intuitive way, I understand it, I can't help but make that the underlining thread, if you will, that ties all those images together. But hopefully at the end of the day, you look at these pictures and you just say, oh, you know, either that I understand that person, or that person fascinates me, or that person makes me mad, or that person makes me curious, or that person makes me feel sexy, or whatever that thing is. But the same reason that you would look at photographs from August Sander or L'Artigue is hopefully the way you'll look at my photographs, just they reflect this time period and not that time period.
Scott, thank you so much. It's been amazing having you at the library tonight. We really appreciate it. And we have DJ Mia Moretti here tonight, so enjoy the music and stick around and have a drink.